Next up, Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program produced by Montana Public Radio. Campaign Beat is hosted by Sally Mock and features Lee Newspaper State News Bureau Chief Holly Michaels and Rob Saldine of the University of Montana's Mansfield Center and Political Science Department. Here's Sally.
Rob, Republican Senate candidate Tim Sheehy had a couple of notable appearances this past week. One before a friendly crowd of supporters hosted by Donald Trump Jr. in Missoula.
Right, Sally. A lot of optimism in that room, a lot of confidence, and probably for good reason. My main takeaway, though, was just a reminder that Sheehy is a novice at this and that that always carries some downside risk. I found it quite surprising that Sheehy seemed to be reluctant to engage with the people at the event. And these were, of course, his people. These are hardcore, committed Republicans. They paid money to be there, right? This was not a public event. Holly and I were there, and we arrived shortly after the doors opened and well before the program kicked off. So, people are just milling about and such. And Zinke was there, as you'd expect, working the room, chatting people up, posing for pictures and so on, but not Sheehy. Sheehy arrived late. Even once he did show up, he hung back behind a partition and just seemed awfully reluctant to engage with the crowd. That struck me as odd, Sally, particularly for a new and largely still unknown candidate who you would think would be eager to get out there and build relationships with exactly the types of people who were in that room. So I don't know if that's a matter of being nervous or feeling awkward, or if he just finds the thought of idle chit-chat with a whole bunch of strangers to be tedious or exhausting or something like that. And on a personal level, I can sympathize with all of those feelings. But, you know, that's part of the gig that he signed up for in doing this. And it's not like it's going to stop at the end of the campaign if he's successful. He's going to be having to do things like this all the time.
Sheehy has a joke he likes to make on the campaign trail that he repeated in Missoula, making fun of what he considers, quote, woke pronouns. And here's what he said.
I'm Tim Sheehy. Those are also my pronouns. I've been a he, she for 38 years. In third grade, I hated my last name. It was terrible. Get made fun of all the time. And that's why I became a Navy SEAL. I had to live it down. And now I love it. It's great. I'm a welcome species today. That illustrates the lunacy that we are living in this country right now.
And Robbie's hammering the culture war stuff again.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of pronoun jokes last Sunday. That one by Sheehy went over well with the crowd. And it was actually a rare moment of levity and an otherwise rather somber set of remarks from Sheehy. And you could tell in that clip where he's transitioning from something, intended to be lighthearted to something else. But, I thought just in terms of performance and style, Sheehy wasn't necessarily bad, but there was a real contrast with the others, right? Sheehy just doesn't come off as polished and comfortable in that setting as do the others. Zinke and Gianforte and Don Jr., these are all real pros when they get behind the podium, and they have a natural way of engaging with an audience, and Sheehy still has some work to do in that department, though that probably isn't a surprise for someone who's never had to do this before.
Sheehy also had a rare TV interview with NBC Montana's Heidi Miley this past week, and Rob, he was much more comfortable at the Missoula rally than he was in that interview.
Yeah, for sure. The interview went poorly. Part of it was just the words that came out of his mouth. His dismissal of a whole series of news outlets was just silly and not serious. He has not really yet, Sally, come close to a reasonable answer for the various issues that have cropped up recently, some of which, at least, might in fact have some reasonable and understandable explanations. But the other piece of it is just how he carries himself in that interview. But as I was saying a moment before, there were also shades of this in the appearance on Sunday before the faithful. In the interview, though, it was very awkward. He doesn't smile. He doesn't look at the person he's talking with. and he just manages to channel a sense of bitterness, and there's a feeling like he's having a really miserable time. Now, the good news for him is that with some basic media training and a little practice, you can make a lot of improvement in a short amount of time in terms of how you present yourself in these settings. There are some good examples of that that we're all familiar with. You know, I think of Governor Bullock and Governor Gianforte. This kind of thing wasn't always a natural strength for them either, but over the years, their communication style improved and arguably turned into a strength for both of them. So Sheehy could develop some of these skills too. But the one thing you can't really coach a candidate on is to enjoy something that they hate. And if Sheehy really is as miserable as he looks in some of these situations, that's a problem. And there's not necessarily an easy fix for that.
Well, if he wants some more practice, the press is eager to give him that opportunity.
For sure.
For sure. Holly, some of the candidates for the Eastern District congressional seat took part this week in debates sponsored by the Montana Farmers Union. And the Republican debate is the most interesting because this is likely going to remain a Republican seat.
Yeah, I think people in this district are pretty eager to learn more about these Republican candidates because, like you said, it's a pretty safe Republican district. So the person who wins this primary is fairly good chance at becoming the representative. It originally looked like we were going to get 7 of the 8 candidates in this race to debate, but we ended up with only 4 participating. Mike Dennison, the former reporter who hosted the debate, said that Troy Downing, Elsie Arnson, and Stacey Zinn had all committed to attending but withdrew over a 24-hour period before the forum, and then Denny Reberg said he would not attend. So that left us with Kyle Austin, Ken Bogner, Rick Holden, and Joel Crowder. And all 4 of these men played up their rural backgrounds, and a lot of the debate questions focused pretty heavily on stuff related to agriculture. One of those questions touched on a major issue for campaigns so far this season, the southern border, and the role that migrant workers play in the ag industry in Montana. Bogner said he would want to reenact a Remain in Mexico policy and keep building out the border wall between the U.S. and Mexico, but he also said he wanted to reform legal immigration paths. Austin said he thought that the wall was just a tool, but that Mexico is really to blame. He said he wanted to improve the H-2A visa program for temporary ag workers by better connecting people who are seeking work with farmers and ranchers looking for those employees. And Crowder said he'd like to see a more beefed up merit-based legal immigration system. He also said he wanted to make sure those H-2A visas are still a strong, robust program. He did also make a point of saying he's visited the border and he does want to see it more secure. And then Holden said he'd like to see the border entirely closed. And if he was in Congress, he would give the president authority to bring in the military to accomplish that. I think another place we saw some daylight between these candidates was on climate change. And Bogner came out and said he doesn't think it's a human-caused issue, and he thinks the free market should be dictating what happens in terms of energy options. Holden just flat out denied climate change is happening and said there shouldn't be any government spending to address it. Both Austin and Crowder, though, acknowledged climate change is real, happening, and Austin said that farmers are on ground zero experiencing it. Crowder said he'd like to see an all-of-the-above energy portfolio, but he doesn't want Congress to have a heavy hand in that.
Rob, as Holly mentioned, the leading candidates in the Eastern District Republican primary chose not to attend the debate, and at least 2 of the candidates who did participate, Ken Bogner and Kyle Austin, took them to task for not showing up.
When things get tough, they didn't have the cojones to show up and be in front of here and answer the tough questions.
I am tired of people electing transplants. The people that didn't show up tonight, those are transplants. Do not vote for them. Vote for someone that is Montana, born and raised, and understands what you need.
Rob, there are a lot of Republican and Democratic candidates who are, quote, transplants.
Yeah, there are. And look, Sally, these second-tier candidates need to draw some distinctions and figure out a way to get some traction. And this is one way of doing that. And in fact, there's quite a long bipartisan tradition of drawing just these kinds of distinctions between the real Montanans and the transplants. We've seen that quite a lot. I'm not always entirely sure how effective it is. It probably resonates on some level, but this is a state with a lot of transplants, depending on how you define that term. And, you know, the other thing we saw there in terms of hitting the candidates on not showing up to the debate, it does this dynamic in which increasingly candidates kind of see debates as optional. There is even some questions about whether we will have presidential debates this cycle or not. And I guess I'm not entirely convinced we're necessarily going to have them for the Senate race. And you see that here. And the candidates who aren't there are the top tier candidates. And, you know, one wonders if we've gotten to a point where they just see it as something that carries more downside risk than potential upside. And that if the voters aren't going to hold them accountable for not showing up to these things, that, you know, better off to skip it.
Well, hopefully the voters will hold them accountable for that, because it is a great way for the public to differentiate among the candidates a lot better than just going by TV ads, for example.
Well, right. And you combine the increasing proclivity to just not debate along with the increasing proclivity of not giving interviews to the media, or not giving very many interviews to the media, and you just aren't left with a whole lot to go on at that point.
Absolutely. Holly, a Republican candidate for state school superintendent, Cheryl Allen, is facing a misdemeanor charge of obstructing justice. She's pled not guilty to that, but this can't be good for her campaign.
No, I don't think so, Sally. Yeah, so Allen is the superintendent of Harrison Public Schools, and what she's accused of doing is preventing a Department of Criminal Investigation agent from interviewing students who they think could be victims of crimes that are possibly tied to a teacher who's been fired from that school district. A peace officer said that Allen stepped in, stopped law enforcement from conducting interviews with students, citing a need for parental consent. And as Allen was doing that, she actually invoked the name of Republican Attorney General Austin Knudsen and his chief of staff, saying that she had a working relationship with them. Knudsen's office has said that in this case, you know, law enforcement officials were just doing their jobs, and that what Allen said about having a relationship with him was an inappropriate thing to bring up at that time. You know, Allen has said she'll plead not guilty to the charge. We haven't really heard anything about how this may or may not affect her campaign. She's been at the school district for less than a year and had already said she wasn't returning for a second year because she needed to take care of a sick family member. And at a school board meeting recently, trustees discussed maybe taking immediate action on her contract, but they didn't make any decisions there. The Missoulian's Dave Erickson has also previously reported that Allen's left other superintendent jobs because of concerns about her performance. And she is, like you said, in this Republican primary for the open superintendent of public instruction job. Current superintendent Elsie Arnson's termed out, and she's running in that Eastern House race like we talked about earlier. Like her primary opponent, Susie Hedlund, Allen's been a deputy under Arnson. And in that race, there's some actual high-profile endorsements, Republicans lining up to support Hedlund, including Knudsen. So, you know, like I said, Allen hasn't said if any of this changes her plans for candidacy, but I think you're right, Sally, that this will be a factor in that race.
Well, Holly and Rob, we're out of time. Thank you.
Thanks, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program produced by Montana Public Radio. Campaign Beat features Rob Saldine of the University of Montana's Mansfield Center and Political Science Department, Lee Newspaper State News Bureau Chief Holly Michaels, and hosted by Sally Mauck. Join us next week for more analysis of Montana politics.